for another episode of Fences and Splinters, the podcast. You're listening in with me, Alia.
And me, Montana.
We are one member. She's under the weather today, so we're gonna hold it down for her.
So I shall now proceed in song. Because it's Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day. Well, it's Valentine's Day and the day of recording. By the time you hear it, you may still be in the relationship or you may not, depending on how your Valentine's Day went. So let me sing you a song. It's Valentine's Day. Whether you are straight or gay, get chocolates and balloons and bears. And make sure you comb your hair. It's Valentine's Day. Amen. Happy Valentine's Day.
I agreed. Jesus, what was that?
I don't know. Listen, I didn't know the song was going to come out like that. I thought it was going to be more like R&B, romantic. But I started singing Sister Act. I tried.
Happy Valentine's. Galentine's, post, whatever. Happy. Happy that. Happy Boy. That. Happy that. Firstly, how are you?
I'm good because I'm not at work. I've got 2 weeks off for Chinese New Year. Oh, by the way, Xin Nian Kuai Le. Happy Chinese New Year, everyone who's listening. It's the year of the ox. But I've been doing good, man. I've been eating, filling my belly. I was trying to not spend money, but hey ho, I spent a lot of money, so I'm good, I guess. Yeah, spending money eating, just eating. That's it.
Is it one of them?
That's all I spend my money on, food.
Because that pisses me off, you know.
No, I think it's the same, because but it's usually only like the Western restaurants that are open, or the English speaking restaurants, because all the Chinese people go home to their family home. Oh, actually, I went to my friend's house for Chinese New Year. Her family loved me. They didn't want me to go. They tried to get me to sleep over. I was like, no, it's all right. I can go home. I only live around the corner. But bless them, they sent me home with so much food. But aww. Yeah, they're so cute. So cute.
That's cute.
How are you been?
Happy. I'm good. What a great week. Why? Because it was my birthday. It was so nice. And you know what? All things considering, because everyone's like, oh, lockdown birthday. I'm so sorry. Blah, blah, blah. And I was dreading it. I won't pretend. I was like, wow, oh, look, I can't go out. It was probably one of the best. It was so nice.
Yeah.
Had that with my mom and dad, like from beginning to end. In years, and it was just really nice. It was very chill. I was off my phone. I wasn't even on social media, like a whole me.
Good, because you're addicted.
And now I'm always on my phone. I didn't even bother this time, and it was just nice. It was so nice and chill, and we had lovely food.
What did you have?
Lovely egg. We got a takeout from Mello's in Birmingham. Mm. That was good. Shout out them.
Have you had the apple crumble?
No.
Ten out of ten.
Every time I tried to book that, always busy. I think I've tried that on six different occasions, and I could never get a fucking space. So I was excited to try, and they delivered. But I got a massive cake. I love birthday cake. A birthday cake is my thing. Like, I love a good birthday cake, and I'm not about a chocolate cake. I'd actually. When I deep it, outside of Ferrero Rocher or a more if I'm feeling it, I don't think I actually like chocolate. Same.
We're twins. I don't like chocolate cake, but I like red velvet. But red velvet is chocolate cake.
Really? I don't even like that. I really detest velvet cake.
Really? Ah, blasphemy.
Yeah, I don't like it. I really don't like it. But yeah, chocolate cake doesn't bang like...
Mm-mm.
Obviously, I know it's nice, maybe it's luxurious and very chocolatey, but after a couple spoonfuls, it's a bit much, you know. I have to be in the mood. I very much have to be in the mood. But chocolate cake, that's not my top five.
the only way I can eat chocolate cake is, and I don't even like custard, but I have to like mash it up in custard and make like a concoction.
Do you like a hot cake? Would you have like a hot chocolate? You know, you used to have like at primary school, like a hot chocolate cake.
Oh yeah. It can't be cold.
Yeah. I was gonna say the only chocolate cake that I find is nice is where like you go to a restaurant and it's usually warm.
Mm.
Just a cold chocolate.
No.
My cake's sponge with cream and jam, or do you know what I mean? Some kind of fruit filling.
Yeah, yeah. Traditional, man.
Lovely. So I had two cakes. One was a pineapple one, and the other one was raspberry and white chocolate.
What, a
and
pineapple turnover, backflip, bend over?
No, not even. I don't really understand it, but there's like little chunks of pineapple in. She's got a lovely sponge, and then a bit of like, is there a little jam there? There's a cream there. No, there's not a jam in that one. There's a cream in that one. The flavouring's in the sponge. It's lovely. And icy. It's beautiful. Really nice. And then my other cake, I've got like actual raspberries in.
Mm.
And little chocolate, white chocolate chips. And then I've got the jam and then the cream. And there's like 40. Oh,
why do you have two cakes? Why do you have two cakes? There's only three of you.
Well, yeah, the gag is.
Oh, okay.
So, I ordered the raspberry and white chocolate cake. So my dad worked quite a bit, and I just thought, oh, like I was doing up and down, considering like, am I gonna do anything? And I was like, no, do it. So I was like, oh, I'm gonna get my friend to bake this cake. It's a great restaurant, great service called Bougie Bakes, by the way. And so I booked it. I was like, yeah, I'm gonna go. Mom was like, oh, are you sure you wanna, like, you don't have to do that. And I was like, oh, yeah, no, it's fine. She was like, oh, it's sure. So I cancelled it. I was like, oh, okay. And then she said, oh, no, like, it's fine. Yeah, no, it'd be nice. So I was like, well, which one, woman? Like, okay. So I got the cake. So I've come down on my birthday now with all my cards. I decorated the kitchen, all the cards, the balloons, the little this, that, and the other.
Aww.
And there's the cake for my friend. And then in front of it, I see this thing. I didn't even know what I thought it was. And I chat anyway. And then I looked again and I was like, wait, what? And there was another cake. They'd ordered me a cake from Time, basically. They ordered me like a Ciroc cake. So it's had the Ciroc pineapple in the middle.
Mm.
And it's got this pineapple all around it. Little cakes, little jelly shots. Like,
alcoholic, man.
She just got worried. She was like, I didn't want you to feel let down. I didn't want you to feel let down. Like, you didn't get what you wanted. But I also knew that you were going to have a cake. You just didn't know it. And I was like, okay, now we got a hell load of cake. So we've been going around giving out cake. Like, it's, I don't know. We've just been up and down. Like, hey, what's cake? We've got so much cake. Touching down. But they're beautiful. And that's lucky, how I got to. Yeah, no, it's nice. But it's silly because I'm like, there's literally three of us. No sister, no brother, no people coming round. Two cakes.
You better send a slice in the post.
The dog. I would. I people would be like, can you send me one? I'm like, do you know how soft this thing is? It'll get to you in a crumb of crumbs and stuff. Yeah, no, that's not going to happen. But yeah. We move, fair, but yeah, beautiful week. So we were just laughing before we got in here about Valentine's Day. What is it? No, what's the song? Valentine's is coming. Where's your
I just watched the video. I like that song.
So Montana, tell me, have you had a Valentine's?
I have never in my 25 years of life, I've never had a Valentine. Never.
See now, I also hadn't ever had one until 2 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've never had. I don't feel sad about it, though. I don't think. Yeah, I just like, oh, Tuesday. Yeah, it's a Tuesday, isn't it?
At school, did you have them friends like I did where they all had that boyfriend? So they'd always be like, oh, I have Valentine's.
If they did, I didn't pay attention. I weren't paying. I don't know. Because I had a boyfriend. I said this before, innit? I would always break up with them before my birthday. And, you know, my birthday's on the 5th. And then Valentine's Day is, like, the week after. Well, kind of. You know what I mean? It's after that, so... Then, it's just too late now, innit?
The math isn't mapping. So, wait. You broke up with them before you received the gifts.
They weren't going to get me no gifts anyway.
Oh, hell no.
Okay, so let's just clarify. I've only ever had two boyfriends. The rest of have been my hoes, yeah. My first boyfriend at school, he weren't going to get me Jack anyway. And he weren't going to get me Jack. We were at school. I was the rich one at school. Well, apparently. And then pocket money-wise, anyway. And then in uni, that stupid little Oompa Loompa that I was with, he abandoned me on my birthday. I got on the train and he did not. Yes.
But wait, did he not give you the gift before he let you get on the train?
Which gift?
No.
Actually, no. Did he give me a gift? Or was that Christmas? I don't know. Would you know? I don't know. But anyway, I never saw him again after that.
Shit.
It would have been a dead Valentine's anyway. What's the point?
I mean, if I'm honest, for ages, I had friends in school who always had boyfriends, and then there'd be someone with that at the time. And we'd go out for an Nando's, and it'd be like our little thing. But then I remember it was like, this is like my fourth year running. Like, everyone's switching around now, the different faces, but there's always me there. Galentine's in Nando's, and I was just like, fuck's sake.
I've never done a Galentine's before.
Yeah, that was basically what we did. We just didn't, I didn't think we even knew the word Galentine's. It was just like, we'll go for Nando's, that kind of thing. And it never, I'm not going to pretend, it didn't bother me like, I'm so hurt. But I wanted gifts, and I can't lie. I just wanted to get gifts to them. Now, because my friends now, they like used to spend money on each other. So I remember them getting like necklaces and trainers. And at the time, like, to get a pair of trainers was like £60. But like when you're 14, that's big. That sounds like big people money.
That's big money, isn't it?
Or perfume, and they'd just be doing like personalized Me To You bears and all that shit. Remember, everyone wanted a Me To You bear, and like. Yeah, I just did watch them just getting showered in gifts. And I was like, I just want a young gift, you know? Like, I just love at least one young gift. But obviously, the little boys in school went for me, I went for them. Did I have a little heartbreak by one for, but we won't talk about that right now. And yeah, but do you know what I did? And I made a tradition of this, and I literally did it from, think age 13 or 14 until I was 18. Every Valentine's Day, I'd go out and I'd buy myself a gift.
Like what though? The trainers that you wanted, or the okay.
I had trainers. That was like my thing. I always bought trainers. So I bought myself trainers for every Valentine's Day, and I just felt good inside. I just was like, yeah. I don't need a man. Oh, that Pussycat Dolls song. I don't need a man to make it happen. I get up being here for you. That was me and my little JD sports bag. Like, I don't need a man. And I remember one year, this is how I got my tattoo actually, on my 19th, around my 19th. I couldn't find a pair of trainers I wanted because my birthday was 10. Right. Couldn't find trainers. I was doing up and down, can't find these trainers. I said, you know what? I'm just going to get a tattoo. It's about the same price anyway.
Might as well.
Like this time, inflation, so now trainers are £90. And that's how I got my first tattoo. I went in there and I booked it. Said I wanted a lotus flower. Came back a couple of days later with my friend and I got my tattoo. That's my Valentine's Day.
I've never done anything like that. I'm the person to get myself a Christmas gift. Well, the majority of the presents that I buy for Christmas are for me. But
really?
Yeah, Valentine's, no, because it's just said. It doesn't apply to me. I don't think so. I don't feel like it applies to me, and I don't feel any type of way. I feel some type of way today. And I think maybe just today, because I've had enough now. I want to share my love with someone. I've got so much. I just want to share it in it. But for me, I think that the Valentine's is not, I don't really care so much for gifts.
Yeah.
Well, I'll say that, and when I forget my first one, and if I don't get a gift, I feel like, well, I might get upset.
Anybody listening, she wants all the gifts in
the, yeah, innit? But I think mostly I just want the romance, innit? I've realised, you know that game that I was addicted to, the Choices game? Oh, I finished that, by the way. That Choices game made me realise that I just want romance.
Yeah, No, I hear you.
That's all I want.
Like, it's not that deep. It's just Valentine's Day. But I was being a pick me. I was just saying it because I thought there was a pick me. No, I like it. I think it's a cute concept. I think it's like Christmas. It's been made commercial. So the idea of you go into a restaurant is great. And I think if you can do it, absolutely do it. But be prepared to pay more. And that's a bit jarring. I don't think you need to do elaborate gifts. I kind of expect my elaborate gifts on my birthday. So I give a little grace, just a little grace. But you can throw in a gift. I just think.
I could be bought a toothbrush and I'd be wailing over the toothbrush. I'd be like, oh my gosh, it's the best toothbrush I've ever seen.
I will say, I do expect a card. And the reason why I expect a card, because my dad literally, before we started recording, brought in my card. Yeah, recording today. And he always used to give me a card.
Oh, so bless.
I do have that expectation. He always used to buy me a card, and I guarantee if I open it now, he'll say, guess who? No, no, damn well, who is the such. But God love him. He always used to give me a card. So I always knew that whenever Valentine's Day, don't chat to me about you can't give me no cards. Because if my dad can give me a card, you.
I think it's much easier to get a card too, to buy a card. It's easy. And then you just write a lovely message in. It's more heartfelt because I'll keep that forever.
Forever. I got cards from when I was like 6.
I got a birthday card since I was that age, but not no Valentine's Day card, of course.
I've got cards upon cards. No, it's the words. It's the words in the cards for me.
Yeah. I agree.
But, wow. There was words. Somebody had a word. I think this would be classed as the maddest comment of the week.
I know it. I just know what you're going to bring up.
Speaking of Valentine's, Cardi said, yes, men do deserve to get gift as well for Valentine's Day. But the gift has to be less expensive than the girl's gift. So if he buys you flowers, you buy him grass.
When I read this, I was dying because it's funny, but also because it's coming from Cardi B. I just think whatever she says is just funny. So it just makes it funnier. I don't know why.
No, you buy your gift.
Yes.
You buy your flowers. Make sure it's great. Like something like that.
Yes. Exactly like that.
Oh, God. I mean, there's two parts to this. I hear what she's saying. I don't... So, guys are shady. Guys are shady in saying that women don't gift men for Valentine's Day. They'll throw on a crotchless pant and say, there's your gift.
Waxes ain't free, you know?
I don't see what's wrong with that personally, but that's the kind of one.
Waxing is painful and it ain't free. And it's a violation. You got some woman all up in your crotch.
And the makeup I had to put on. Like, if I put the bill up for that, beating my face to the gods, and then the wig, and then the heels.
Time
is money. It's still a currency, yeah. Mm. Like, it's still a gift. It's still a damn well gift. But I agree with Cardi. Men don't need all of that. Because what they want more time, they're going to buy it themselves anyway.
I disagree.
Don't you think?
No, I feel like if you're in a relationship, it's supposed to be like a partnership. You're supposed to be like, you're supposed to be equals. So then the gift giving should be equal. If the love is equal, then the gift giving should be equal. About if I get flowers, he must get grass. So that's a male and female relationship. What if that was a gay relationship? Who gets what now? Who gets grass and who gets the flower? Who gets the leaf?
I'm not saying you don't get them anything, but I just think gift giving for men is a little different. I find it hard. I find it so hard. I've always found it hard getting like my dad a present. That's why they end up with boxes and socks, because it's just like, bro, this is hard, man. They don't have a lot of choice in regards to clothes. They don't really care for clothes enough. So after a while, they're like, oh, I've got enough clothes. And they're like, okay, sure. It's just a bit, I'm not saying don't get anything, but I can understand, like, a woman, she wants elaborate, a guy, there'll be that more time. You give them a gift and they just look at it and go, oh. Where is the excitement? Where's the, oh my god, is it opening? Where did these times, they're just on mute, like, unwrapping the paper, and then...
That sounded accurate, you know, that paper wrapping.
Thanks, babe. Do you even like it? Do you even like me? Show me, man. Where's the emotion? You don't sing it. He's like, no, I really need to watch it because I don't. So, yeah, no. I hear you, but I'm not going to pretend. No. And you're probably getting paid more than me anyway because this is a patriarchal system. So,
mate, innit? That's true, though.
You can afford
that's
to.
That's true. You're not lying about that.
You can afford to do flowers and I'll afford to do grass because my paycheck says grass. Okay.
Stop making me weak today.
I'm just saying, if you've got a problem with it, you best talk to your folk and tell them to start paying me more.
It's true that, you know, but I've asked like friends, like I asked, what would you get a man anyway? Because like there's like foot. Do you get them a football? Because in my head, if I was looking, I can't remember who I was looking for a gift for. It was a boy though, and I was like, okay, football. I mean, but he's probably already got a football, and he's however many years of age, and what if you don't even like football? And then there's aftershave, and then there's what else can you get them? Cufflinks, and then what can you get them? Beard yeah. oil.
Now you're seeing the problem. It is actually hard.
Five items.
You need something. It's hard. So you go through a process in your head like, is their TV working? Is their laptop working? I mean, is their Fitbit the latest one? Like, you end up thinking of the gadgety things that kind of
they're, in their. Oh, that's the thing. Their gifts are too expensive.
And there's that part. There you go. There's that part. I'm buying you a laptop. I'm buying a laptop.
I'll buy you a memory stick, a terabyte, 1 terabyte memory stick. There you go.
Oh, God. You see, they're expensive. And more time, when they need these kind of things, my dad anyway, he goes out and buys it. So now, I might as well have just wrote some lovely words in the car, sealed the card, filled it with a kiss, and wrapped myself up in a lovely little bow.
Put glitter on your nipples.
There you are. The gift keeps on giving. When I have kids, that's a gift in itself. I'm a woman. It literally keeps on giving. When I make food, that's a gift.
You're telling the truth.
There's gifts in ways they don't even know, realize. So I'm sorry. Cardi's right for me. I'll bring the grass, yeah? Because all I am that keeps on giving. And I'm not mad about it. And that's just that. However, I do want a Valentine's Day gift. Don't come in small. Don't do... Like, oh, you know, oh yeah, I'd love a gift. Love it. I stand firm on that. I stand firm. Otherwise, you get these little dust bites just coming in and out. And gifts. Just leaving pure destruction, not a single gift to say, oh wow, at least I got this. Oh no.
No, you're right though. I feel like even if it's just for the first year, if it's the first year, you two go all out, and then the next year you can decide, oh, actually, we'll just do birthdays, or we'll just go all out for Christmas, or we'll just, you know, we'll skip Valentine's. But the first one, when you're still in your honeymoon phase...
It's the most expensive.
Oh, boy.
You just have heart eyes. That's literally... You're like, oh, yeah, and then this, and then this, and then this, and then this. And then you see your cat, and you're like, oh, but I love them. Come the second year round, you're like, I see you every day. Yeah, no. That's the real tea. The real tea is the first year. Don't even look at the price. Just buy. And you know what made it worse? My dad said to me, and then I was looking at something, and I was like, oh, look, is it too expensive? Because I can spend, yeah, but I'm not used to spending on other people. My dad went, wow, how much do you love him? So I started feeling away, like, right, if I don't, like, if the love is real, I shouldn't look at the price tag. You know, Jesse J, it's not about the price tag. That's what I had in my head. I was like, fuck.
I hate that song.
I used to like it, but yeah, it got annoying. I was like, shit, So I've got to spend money to say I love, innit? Jesus. Yeah, not in the first year. Madness.
See, no, I would be struggling because, like, I just went out to dinner. Was it yesterday or the day before? I just went out to dinner. No, it must have been yesterday. Oh, I don't know. The day before. And all of the items on the menu, so it would say like 68 yuan or 70 yuan, but in English money, it's only £6. And I'm here looking at the number and I'm like, oh my gosh, I cannot pay this. I can't pay this. I can't pay this. Oh, I want this drink. Oh, but I can't pay this much. I cannot pay 28. But really, it's £2.80. So I am just so incredibly cheap. I don't want to be cheap. I don't want to be. It's just my soul just tells me, nope, too high. Really? Just order water. Just have water. Yeah, I don't, even if it's just for myself. But then sometimes I do online shopping and spend like £700. But again, it's all on me, isn't it? It's on me. I can't spend that much on somebody else. The most expensive gift I got someone was my mum, and it was a Hoover. And even then I was like, oh my gosh, I can't do this.
You mean me? My dress gets tight. I'm like, oh, all this money going and I don't see it. Oh.
Innit? Oh, that hurt me, man.
I can spend a pretty fucking money on me. But other people, I'm like, oh, and it's something I am working on. I'm like, no, it's the thought. It's their reaction. It's what it'll mean to them. But I'm not going to lie, there's a little bit in my head like, rat is. All this. Oh, God. So, we've discussed the beauty of Valentine's Day, the gift giving, feeling warm inside. And I'm excited for that for you because it's going to come. But there's also a downside that I saw online. And it just confused me a bit because it makes me sad, but it confuses me because I'm like, really? Still? It's romance fraud. So Brits are warned, recently warned not to lose their money to romance fraud. This Valentine's Day, UK Finance are telling Brits to be wary of romance fraud, which is scamming someone out of money by pretending to want a relationship. Figures show that there's a 20% increase in bank transfer fraud linked to romance scams in 2020. 68 million was lost to this last year, and it has been on the rise during lockdown. Organisations advise online daters not to transfer the other person money or take loans on their behalf. They should also not hand over personal documents or send parcels for the other person. I said, does everyone not know that already?
Well, you know, if it's still happening, some people are not as fast. But you know what? Actually, you know what? It's funny that you say that because that's the reason why Santander blocked my damn account. I was sending over a big sum of money to myself. And they were like, oops, sorry, we're going to block your account. I said, why? Why today? So I'm going to have to wait till I get home to phone them because I can't spend no £20 on a phone call today. From China to UK was fine. From my UK bank account to my other UK bank account, they were like, fraud.
Really?
Foolishness.
It makes me sad because there are people that want to be loved.
Mm.
And they are falling prey to these evil people doing up just lies and deception all the time. But also, I'm just like, why are you transferring money to people you don't know, you've never met? There's not a story on this earth that you can tell me that would make me think, oh, let me just send them a young £100, £200. I'm not sending you shit. I don't know you. I'm not sending you. And you know what's the worst bit? A rise during lockdowns. Even in a pandemic, the scammers stay scamming.
Well, I feel like there was a rise in the pandemic because there was a panoramic in it. But even so, I mean, I it would make more sense to send a gift, I feel. If it's for Valentine's Day, it would make more sense to send a gift rather than money.
It's not cash. And they're saying as well, to avoid romance fraud, online daters are being told to perform reverse image searches. What kind of CSI is this? Instead of you just spending time finding love, you're now doing reverse image search. I don't understand.
catfish, innit? That's how Neve used to find everybody and their cousin.
Who's that?
Reverse from Catfish, you know, the MTV program.
Oh yeah, I don't know. I never watched it, you know.
Oh really? Foolishness.
I couldn't physically watch it because I just thought, how did you actually think you were talking to Chris Brown? How? you look in the mirror and you thought you banged Chris Brown. Come on. I need the sense. The math ain't mathing. Like, I need people to really think with sense. Like, Chris Brown. Me.
You never know.
No.
They should have known, but you never know.
I don't know.
It's sad that people think that they have to give money in order to be loved. No? Literally. And if you can be so convincing to love someone, then you might as well just love them, innit?
Yeah. No.
But then again, I'm not a scammer, am I? So I wouldn't know that. I wouldn't know. I'm speaking from a non-scammer point of view. And no, I'd be a terrible scammer because I remember when I first came to China. Well, 6 months in, yeah, when you're doing like student finance, you have to pay student finance when you're living abroad. And So I was putting in my details, like how much I get paid and whatnot. And I had just missed like the bracket to use my contract. Mm-hmm. And so I was going to use like my first contract, which was like much lower pay. And then, so then I was going to try and like fabricate my pay slips in it because my pay slips were showing something completely different. And then so I did all of that. And when I looked, when like they make you tick a box to say, I confirm that everything's all true and blah, 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 blah. And I couldn't tick the box. I couldn't tick it. I was like, I can't do this. And I went back and I just was the honest person. I was like, you know what? I should just pay. There's no point. Just pay. But yeah, I couldn't even I was just too scared to even press to click the button. They would have never known, you know, but I just couldn't do it because I can't go to jail. I just can't.
Me, oh my god, I think about that sometimes, you know, like imagine me in jail. Jesus Christ,
no, I can't.
There were some situations I'm just not down for. That like, I'm pretty down for that. I mean, I'll be like, oh yeah, I'm calm and calm, but that right there, me in prison, oh god. It's not worth it.
And I was going to be a prison officer as well, so I've like had tours of prisons. Yeah, I got through and everything, and yeah, I just needed to go to training. But anyway, something happened. But it's cold, and I just can't deal with. I just need things to be pristine all the time. Like I can't even sit in a taxi. In like, I have to have something covering like between my clothes and the taxi seat, otherwise I won't feel comfortable. I feel like there's crumbs touching me or whatever. There could be no crumbs in the car, but I just can't. I need things to be clean. What do you mean? I might turn around and someone might, I don't know, stab me. I don't know. I don't like to be told what to do. I just couldn't. I want my own bed.
Oh my god! And then someone's like, "Need to be my girlfriend." I'm like,
I don't want to be the victim. I'm like, I'm a nun. My only partner is Jesus.
I really don't like it. Like, I just don't. I'm gonna be the worst lover. Oh god. No. Let's not even think about that. It couldn't ever be me. This is a little deterrent one, but this is one I always think of, and it's a bit weird, but I'm always like, I don't know how people do it. You know when you see, like, the other day I went to the dentist and I was waiting, and there was a little old man getting served, and bless him, he was getting out his little debit card and he was there shaking, you know, in the shape. Oh, his little card, handed it over and tapped it. Now always look at, when I see like vulnerable old people like that, I'm like, how do people see the likes of you? I think, yeah, I'm gonna push you over and grab the purse. Because you know people do that. You know when you see it in the news that, like, oh, like, an elderly woman was attacked, elderly man. I always think, like, how do you actually see this little vulnerable person now and think, opportunity? Nah.
It's obviously not. It's not in us to do that, no, obviously.
And I always think, like, rah, people see you and think, yeah, I'm going to dash you. I'm going to see you and give you a dig and grab your purse. I can't. I can't. And I always so weird. Like, I always think in my head, I'm always like, and like, I remember, like, when I lived in Croydon, I was helping this, like, elderly woman. Once we were both, like, heading in the same direction, I was holding her little bag. And I was thinking, imagine now, if I was bad mind, I could just grab your bag and run. You would not catch me. You wouldn't catch me. And I'm like, but I can't do it. I would never. I couldn't live with myself. So how on earth do people do it? Like, how do people see you and think, this is an opportunity?
They obviously don't know their grandparents in it. It could be that they've got no connection.
Yeah,
I couldn't have no one do that to my nan. I'd get in the car and run them over. Are you mad?
My little heart.
My nanny? I don't think so.
I just look and I'm just like, I don't think the wires aren't connected where they're meant to be. Because I just see cute. I see vulnerable. And I just think, oh, get home safe. Like, oh, bless you. I'll give him a good dig. No. People that do that are wrong. Absolutely wrong. Like, I know they're wrong, but it's always in those scenarios when I see them and I'm looking them in the eye like, people really are evil.
They must be desperate. I can only think of it as that. Desperate.
Yeah. They've prioritised themselves. They've prioritised their need for XYZ over this little elderly person. And it's bloody wrong.
Disgusting behaviour, man. Oh, actually, this conversation that we're talking about right here, it reminds me what I've been doing all weekend, actually. Because I should have mentioned this when you asked me how I am. All weekend, I've been watching Roadman films, you know. I watched one day. I was on some YouTube channel. Oh, what's it called? Can't remember. There's no point because I won't say it right. And I just been watching all these like little short films, and obviously they're all British, but they're all Roadman films, all of them. And I'm just having a whale of a time, like enjoying it. But I'm just like, can we not do anything other than Roadman?
I think that's all we know, you know. That's all we know. All we know is violence.
Everyday Roadman.
Violence. There's one. I'm gonna find it in a minute. There's one I really liked, but it's quite brutal. Like, a man gets dashed out of a burning house and then his head smashes on the ground.
No, I can't. Oh, I can't.
But it's like kind of like the same thing, like Country Lines and in London. It's a bit much. What did you watch?
I watched one day. I watched, you know what? Let me go on my YouTube history.
One day, find it.
Yeah, because, and you know what? Actually, watching One Day, I watched it because it reminds me of home, obviously, because I am from Birmingham, and all of the areas that I've seen, one of the, like, when Flash is, like, running through the house, when, what's his name, when Evil sets him up, that is my friend's house.
Really?
So, yeah, I think it's that one. Yeah, that's my friend's house that he's running through, and that's my area, so I'm just like, oh my gosh, I live there, I live here, and a lot of the people that are in the film, I went to school with, so Flash's son, not the son in the film, but Flash's actual real child. I went to school with him. And then like the little bug-eyed child that he was running around with, I went to school with him, along with the two other little children, drug dealers. I went to school with them. So it was just like, I remember when I first saw it and I was like, oh my gosh, I know all these people. And in the church scene, one of my family members is in the church singing. I was like, what? Family reunion?
That is so funny.
Yeah, so I felt like I was missing home, and not that I know that side of Birmingham. Like people say that I come from a rough area, but I don't see none of that. I don't see none of that at all.
Yeah, that's so funny. I just remember all the singing. I couldn't tell you what happened. I couldn't tell you names. Flash rings a bell, but I just remember the singing. And it, Lady Leisha's in that as well.
Yeah.
I didn't get it. Like, it just felt very hood, and then boom, they're singing. And I was like, huh?
I feel like it was a musical. That's all I can think. A hood musical. Yeah.
I'd like to see another one, actually, because now I'm thinking, does Birmingham have any other ones? It's just that, no?
I feel like it's just that, and then the rest are in London. I watched Shiro's Story. That was good.
No, I didn't watch that. I watched Blue Story.
Some clips from Blue Story, but I ain't watched the whole film. But I watched Shiro's Story. That was good. I do enjoy these Roadman films, but I feel like there could be a different narrative. And especially with black people, we're not all that's not all they know, because a lot of the roadmen, they would have went to school at some point, so they do know something different other than roadmanism. But you know, like the actors, I feel like maybe they're just trapped in being a roadman, because that guy from Mandem on the Wall, in a lot of the little things I've seen him in on this YouTube page called MYM, Million Youth Media, he's a roadman in that.
There was a guy, I thought you were going to mention it, there's a guy that came out recently, I think he was in Blue Story, one of them, and he recently came out and was like, I actually can do other stuff, you know, I'm sick of being typecasted.
I think I saw that too.
Being typecasted. It's a catch 21. I feel like I want to see a different story, because that them stories right there are not my life. I lived in a flat, once with my mum in Handsworth, and then we moved. She bought a house. And then she met my dad. Do you know what I mean? Like, there was a difference in my story and that particular lifestyle and that struggle. It's usually a struggle story. I can't relate. Not a single part. And for a while, I used to genuinely think, like, everybody's living this life. Everyone was like, when I lived in my white area and we went to work school, I thought, oh my God, everyone really is out here living this life and it's just me. And then I got older. People were like, no, I don't relate to that. No, I was like, okay, so
I think the majority of us don't relate to it.
There we go. There are black people who don't know that struggle, and we would like to see it on TV. Also, in light of the things that go on, people, young boys being mercilessly killed, we don't need this trauma. It's trauma at this point. I don't need it. I don't think their mothers need to see it either, because you're glorifying it, you make it look like it's cool. And he was just defending his block. He was just defending his friend. He was just defending his turf. These are young kids. Get them off the street. Get them off there. They don't need to be there. They're only going to go to one or two places. Jail or the morgue. It's nothing to be glorified. And for those that are like, this is my life and I hate you, but if you had it by choice, would this actually be your life? No. I don't think it would be. And for that
question,
why I'm like, yeah, let's move on now. Let's do something else. But
I mean, I guess I do understand why they do have these, I'm going to call them hood movies, because they feel like that.
A part of me feels that all production want that. A part of me feels that that's what they like. And I say that because I've been in conversations with writers, black writers who have other stories, and they say that production are telling them they don't think it will sell. That's what's happening. They don't think it will sell. Whereas they know that they can do a drug-based film, crime-based film with black kids, and it'll bang. They are not committed to putting those stories out there because they're not sure it will sell. And they're more concerned with the money than the impact.
Story of our lives, man.
Black production companies, which is why we need black people, more black people in the space to be like, yeah, it can. Because right now, they're not prioritising us, and it is very frustrating. It's frustrating because I'm seeing that there are writers out there. There are writers out there prepared who have a body of work that is not that story, but they're not picking it up. Look at I May Destroy You, not a single Golden Globe nomination.
I've never watched that before. I've never heard of that.
By Michaela Cole.
Destroy You.
Good. It's really good. I May Destroy
You. Let me write that down then.
Very, very good. Oh yeah, if no one's watched, please watch it. It's so, so good. She covers a lot of topics, but in a beautiful way. No, it's really, really good. Like she's created a new, I'd say like a new blueprint. I think I'd say a new blueprint for storytelling in the UK, what kind of stories you can tell, particularly as like she is the main character. She's black. I think she also produced it and directed it as well, from what I remember. Oh, she's amazing. She's created a new story right there. You will see copies of that particular story because it was done beautifully.
But I'm excited to watch now.
Not a single nomination. And you know what's the worst part is? There's this story called Emily in Paris, which is about a white woman living in Paris. I don't really know how she got there. I don't really care, if I'm honest. The writer the writer of Emily in Paris, who received a Golden Globe nomination, even turned around and said, I don't understand how I made sure you hasn't been nominated. I don't understand. And a writer also came out from Emily in Paris and said that she originally put the project forward, but with an Asian woman in Paris. And she was she received a racial slur and was told that her story sucks. And then when she returned to them, but swapped out the Asian girl for a white girl in Paris, they loved it.
That reminds me of, what was it, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory? Charlie was supposed to be black.
I thought Charlie was meant to be black. That makes
sense. Yeah, Roald Dahl written as black. And then obviously the publishers were like, nah.
You know what else I learned yesterday? You know Tracy, do you know, I don't know, because you're not in China. You know Tracy Beaker's back.
Yeah, yeah, seeing Justin Littlewood. We've got the same name, me and Justine. Her name's Montana Thompson.
Oh, is it? Tracy Beaker's back. You know she had an adoptive mom, Cam.
Yeah.
Cam was meant to be a lesbian.
Oh, was she?
She was meant to be a lesbian. And you know, it's funny because I remember watching her as a kid and thought, oh, she looks like a lesbian.
That's what I thought, but I just didn't want to say it right now.
I'll say it because I just thought she looked like a lesbian because it was a stereotype of what lesbians look like. White woman, yeah. Short hair. In my head, that's what a lesbian looked like. She was meant to be a lesbian, but because of Section 28, Jacqueline Wilson had to make her a heterosexual character, but instead she just kind of kept like the inferences there and said, you know, if you can read between the lines, you'll see that she was meant to be a lesbian. Wow.
Yeah.
If you knew Tracy Beaker, my mom, apparently Cam gets married. Sorry, spoiler. Cam got married. To a woman, a mixed race woman.
Good.
I said, look at that.
Because we're not living in the dark ages.
We're not.
And everyone exists. Everyone of every kind exists.
They do. I couldn't believe it. I said, this makes sense to me. This makes sense that Cam would be a lesbian. I was never believing Cam and Gary. It didn't make sense. No, it didn't make a single bit of sense. It made no sense. I genuinely thought, this woman's a lesbian. This woman is a lesbian. Well, you know what the funny thing is? Jacqueline Wilson literally just came out last year and she is 71. How sad is that?
Oh, she's 71. Oh, yes, she's the short... I'm getting her mixed up with the Harry Potter writer.
Oh, no, not that Bruce. no. I'll tell you what's sick. Section 28, basically, when the book that inspired the series was first published in 1991, Section 28 was still in force, which meant that stories with LGBT plus characters could be banned from school libraries. And that was put in, that was Margaret Thatcher's homophobic section that she put in 17 years ago. I didn't even know that they could do something like that. Do you know what I mean? Like, to put it in law. And it almost sounds naive, actually, but I didn't realise that that could be...
Didn't think so, too, because don't we have, like, freedom of speech? But then we also... that's a more recent law though, isn't it? It would be different if that law was like back in the day in the 1800s or whatever, then it would kind of make sense because
that's recent.
That's the other day. We're older than that law.
The clause and amendment to the Local Government Act 1988 banned local authorities and schools from promoting homosexuality and was brought forward by Thatcher's government. It's not promoting homosexuality. You're telling someone's story. You're telling a story, a true and valid, authentic story. And it's great. I don't know why. I shouldn't be shocked because most things don't shock me. But I was like, bruh. Even in the library, they were out here dictating what stories are told. And I know it, in a sense, it's my ignorance. I know it from a perspective of black stories. Because we know what it's like to go through a library and not see many books with girls' faces that look like
us.
So we know that. But it was kind of like, rah, like even a white lesbian woman wasn't told. It sounds dumb saying it out loud. Like, I didn't even think. I was like, wow. Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Well, you know what, actually, what you just said about telling people's stories, that brings me back onto like the Roadmen films. And because you know what, I forgot what my point was. I now remember. I think, you know, when I was talking about representation, I think that's what it is. They do so many Roadman films because they don't feel like those kind of people are represented. They're telling that story. They're telling their story. Because we see a lot of killings and body, body, but and a lot of us, we don't see these things happening. We just hear of the killings. We don't see these things happening. I've never seen like road men running up and down the road or the two different gangs or whatever. I've not seen it with my own eyes. So I think telling the story, it kind of makes us more aware, like, be careful. But at the same time, just I don't want to hear anymore. Okay, you told the story now. It's the same story.
I want to celebrate life. I want young black people to understand that's not all they have. That's not all they are. More importantly, that's not all they are. Because the world sees us as that. But I need you to understand that that's not all you are. And that's why I'm so heavy on kind of doing the things I do, even like with the podcast. I just want little girls to be like, oh, rah. And there's these girls called Arnie, and then from Birmingham, and then the Caribbean. Da-da-da-da-da. I can do that. That's all it is for me. It's all about just planting little seeds and little children's heads that they can do it, because we live in a world where everyone's saying no, you can't.
It's true.
Does, but for you, there's not much. And then to think that what you do get a lot of is those kind of films. Nah, you're better than that. You don't have to do that. It's not, and as much as it's entertaining, i.e. the movie, in real life there's not a single part of it that's entertaining. Even if you end up in jail, you've lost your life. What now? You come out post-traumatic stress, mental health. What now?
Yes.
It isn't worth it, and there's not a single person that can convince me that, you know, it has to be that way. No, it doesn't. No. It doesn't. That's my little piece, because I'll be here all day. I just think, well, do you know what I mean? Like, it hurts me, we're worth so much more than that. And I refuse to allow that to continuously be our story, because it isn't. It absolutely isn't. And thank God for our podcast, because we can show you from our home without the backing and ticking of this company to say, this is my story. Done. No one can argue.
And internationally as well.
There you go. I don't have to wait to approve that story. I'm saying it right here, right now, in my bedroom. How about that? That's not my story. And that's not Montana's story. And that ain't Dina's story. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's not my story. So, yeah.
Just get, I'm not aware of these things. No, you can love your postcode, but love yourself more, man. Recommendations of the week. Yeah. Dude. So, Alia, what's your recommendation of the week?
Lord of mercy. My recommendation is an aloe vera plant. I don't know if you saw.
I agree.
Oh, Jesus. You know what? That plant is a wonderful thing. I've been cutting up my mum's plant like fucking Edward Scissorhands. With a beautiful mark on my face. So I need people to be clear. But acid peel, you need to be careful. And I did my Googles. This is what I said, and this is another recommend. This is a bonus. Do your Googles. I did my Googles, and another girl suggested anything. She said after the fourth use, she got a mark. I said, why are they still saying? She said I followed instructions, and I got a mark. Now I'm thinking, I must have followed instruction. The thing's broken. And the only thing said in my face is this aloe vera plant. So thank God for that. I just take a little sniff, flesh it out, and I put it directly on my face.
Yeah, a little goes a long way.
It goes a long way. So get a plant. That's my recommendation.
A good thing to do as well, because sometimes aloe vera can cause irritation, is to soak it in some water first. It will draw out the toxins.
Okay.
Yeah, so then it won't irritate. Because sometimes I've had like irritation from aloe vera before, but yeah. Oh, really? So that could be the mix of the it could be because you're using retinol and an exfoliant at the same time, because retinol kind of exfoliates.
Yeah, but I separated them. I put them like 2 days apart.
Huh.
Yeah, no, what? Yeah, I looked in. This is the thing. I did my Googles. I separated them and I got this little mark. And I saw online there were women with massive marks.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no. A madness. A big old madness. So
I'm skin still
retinol, but that acid solution, it ain't it. No, don't do
maybe
that.
Once a week.
That's what I was thinking, but I'm scared because that girl, well, I don't know.
Once a week, then wait 3 days and then start your retinol up again because it's exfoliating again. So you're probably getting sensitivity because it's over exfoliating.
Maybe.
But anyway, aloe vera, I've got a plan. I had two. One was called aloe and one was called Vera. Vera died and we had to leave her at the old apartment. So aloe's still going strong. Bless her. I'm going to have to give her away when I leave.
Oh, that's a shame, man.
I know. She's been doing so well. She started off tiny. Bought her from a little Chinese man under the bridge. And took her home on a bike.
I'm just imagining you on a bike with this little plant. Come on.
I talk to her. Oh, talk to your plants. Talk to your plants. Talk to your aloe vera. They're full of water. They can hear you.
Mum was like, did you ask it if you could cut it? Did you say thank you? Did you tell it what you needed it? But I said, it's a plant. I said, I did ask because I always ask. I'm like, oh, I'm just going to take a little bit now. It's kind of telling, but it doesn't matter. Mum's like, no, you should have asked.
Yeah, your mum's right.
Before. I said, Jesus.
You got to talk to your plants, man.
Huh?
You got to talk to your plants. Ask them how their day was. They'll be happier. They'll thrive.
Yeah.
She ain't going to talk to no plants.
No, I'm not talking. Am I hippie? No. Yeah, no. I said thank you. I said please and thank you. Have manners. Talking. It's not gonna turn around and say, how are you? How's your day been?
Well, if you talk to it, it might do. It's just like a baby. If you don't talk to the child ain't just gonna be goo gooing and gargoing all day. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah. What's your besides talking to
plants? Yeah. Okay, well, that's number one. And number two, my recommendation of the week is an Instagram page called The Good News Movement.
Oh, I like that.
I love that page. It's just a bit of happiness on your timeline without seeing, like, because, you know, the world's gone tits up right now. So The Good News Movement page, it's just lots of things from around the world where, well, it's good news, isn't it? It could be little things from someone like really needed a job and they got their job, or to like some person who was doing something good for the community and they bought them a car or something. Just really cute things, and some things are like really funny, but I just love that page and I'm always smiling when I see it. Sometimes I'm bawling, you know, I get emotional sometimes. So it's just a really nice page to, when you're scrolling through your timeline, just something to like get some serotonin in your body, innit?
I love that. Well, that is us wrapping up. It has been me, Alia.
Me, Montana.
And we're signing out. Peace. As little Dina says.
Bye.